Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. It is September the 15th, year of our Lord 2020, and we are so very glad that you have joined us today. It is the First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I am so very glad you have joined us tonight. We pray that you are home and you are safe and that you are taking all precaution during this very difficult time in our nation. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. Our doors hang on welcome hinges. When this pandemic is over, you are invited to come and be a part of the religious experience of First Baptist. However, because of the pandemic, we are worshiping via our Facebook page. Go there. First Baptist of Holly Spring Facebook page. Go there. You will find all the pertinent information concerning First Baptist and how you can get in touch with us, and we can stay in touch with you. You'll also find the articles on various religious subjects that we have on the Facebook page. You will find information from the Wake Baptist Association and also the General Baptist State, the North Carolina General Baptist State Convention as well. So we ask that you will go to our Facebook page, go there, hit the like button, and don't forget to share so others will know that the Bible study of First Baptist of Holly Spring is on the air. You can do that right now. You can hit the like button and you can share. Those of you who are listening over the internet, we thank you. Those of you who are listening by telephone, we do have a call-in number. That number is area code 845-241-9839. That's area code 845-241-9839. You can listen to us over the internet or you can listen to us over the phone. If you would like to speak or you would like to be a part of the Bible study, you can call us with that number and we can speak directly to you. We also want to remind you that there are ways that you can give to First Baptist. There are three ways. You can do so by on Sunday between the hours of 11 and 12. The trustees are there to take care of any financial needs for tithes or offerings that you may want to drop off from 11 to 12 on Sunday. Then, of course, you can mail your contributions and your tithes into the church. You can go to the Facebook page there. You will find the correct mailing address to do so. You can also use the Cash App. The Cash App, we have a Cash App, and that is FBCHS. It stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. FBCHS, of course, with the Cash App, you put a dollar sign, not a hash mark, but a dollar sign before you put the letters. All of those are capital letters. FBCHS, that is the Cash App for First Baptist of Holly Spring. You can contribute right now to First Baptist of Holly Spring. We have received a report, a good praise report on Deacon Lee. We understand that he is out of the ICU unit and he will be moved to a regular room very soon. So we thank God for his recovery as he is getting better and healing. We thank God for that. We pray that he will have a good night tonight. I want to thank the ushers of First Baptist. We had a good program on last Sunday. If you have not seen that, you can go to the Facebook page. You can go back and see the program that we had last Sunday as we celebrated the usher board of First Baptist of Holly Spring. I want to thank them so very much. They're has been a difficult time for us this year. Have not been able to get into the church building, but we thank God that you are still in touch with us and that you are still doing what's supposed to be done for the church. So we thank the usher board for their tremendous work at First Baptist of Holly Spring. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are listening over the internet, those who are listening by phone. Pray, God, that something be said here tonight that will encourage your people to keep on giving you the praise. We ask, God, that you would touch those who are on our sick list, those who are in the rest home, those who are locked behind prison bars. They may be locked up, but they're certainly not locked out. We thank you, God, for the healing that is going on right now in the sick bodies of those who are on our sick list, Father. We pray, God, that you will continue to control blood pressure, regulate kidneys, control arthritis and rheumatism, and all the sicknesses and problems that we have going on in our physical bodies today. Touch us, O Lord, from the crown of our head to the sole of our feet. We'll be so ever grateful to give your name the praise. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, our lesson tonight is somewhat misleading. I think I had the wrong scripture up. That was an old scripture for a Bible study, but it is called A Call to Rebuild. But tonight, I'm going in a different direction. If you will, get your Bibles and turn to the book of Malachi. I'm going to give you a second to do that. Turn to the book of Malachi, the third chapter. In that third chapter, look at verse 7, Malachi 3, starting in verse 7. And the reason why I say that this actually coincides with our Bible study is because in the previous lessons that we had in the Old Testament, we talked about the rebuilding of the temple and how important it was for them to complete the building of the temple. We talked about how it was King Zerubbabel who was authorized to go back home to Jerusalem and rebuild that temple. We talked about how it was that Jehozadak and Shealtiel were all a part of those who went back after 70 years of captivity to rebuild what is now called the Second Temple. And we talked about how for 17 years they left off of building. They built the foundation and then they stopped. And there were several reasons that they gave for stopping their work. One of them was the fact that there were enemies in the area that they had to defend themselves against. Of course, another excuse was that they had that build their own homes. They wanted to go out and build their own homes. There were many things that they used as excuses as to the reason why they stopped building on the temple. But God wanted them to complete the work that he had set out for them to do. And because of the fact that they had not completed the temple, he came to them through the prophet to explain to them the importance of rebuilding. So when we talk about a call to rebuild, it's not just a call to rebuild a temple. It's not just a call to rebuild a building. What God was trying to do was he was also trying to rebuild a nation, to rebuild a people, to rebuild a civilization, or to rebuild a culture. And part of rebuilding a people is to get their minds and their hearts right for giving unto the Lord. Now, this scripture that I call before you is a very familiar scripture. I know you have read it over and over again, but let's read it again. Malachi, third chapter, starting in the seventh verse. Even from the days of your fathers, you were gone away from me and from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye say, wherefore shall we return? Verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet ye rob me. But ye say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole generation. Bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruits of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. So I want to talk tonight about tithing. I want to talk about giving. to the house of God. It has been a very controversial subject. Many people will say that they're confused or they don't understand the concept of tithing, but I want to just briefly give you some information concerning tithing and what tithing is all about, because that is also a part of rebuilding. We always talk about rebuilding in our society today. We're talking about rebuilding the nation. We're talking about rebuilding buildings. We're talking about rebuilding a lot of things, but we must rebuild ourselves as well as a child of God and as a church of God. Surely this is one of the most unusual texts found in the Bible. But within this unusual text, there are two important truths to help us grow. The first unusual truth to discover is that Malachi charged said that a man could rob God. For one to keep back that which God has declared to be his is robbing God. The second important truth you discover is God's plan for giving. It is essential that you learn to give biblically if you are to grow spiritually. You see, there are three things you need to know about scriptural giving. As you begin to apply these truths concerning giving, you will discover that a man cannot outgive God. The more you give to God, the more he will bless you in return. So this is what our lesson is about tonight. The first thing we need to learn from Malachi is the problem of giving. See, the problem is that many people are reluctant to give scripturally. Some say they do not have to give, or they do not have the tithe because they're not under that law. Yet the first mention of the tithe being given was before the law was ever written. These individuals who say that they don't have to tithe because they're not under the law anymore are misunderstanding the scripture and the reason for giving it. It is not the law that motivates a Christian to give. It is love in the heart. There are actually two problems which hinder God's people from giving. It's a financial problem. Some people claim they cannot afford to tithe. This is the most common problem which hinders scriptural giving. Many have unwisely not calculated what tithing is all about. Now, I'm going to take my time because I want to break this down. I want to make sure that you understand where I'm coming from. The tithe is a specific amount. The tithe is 10% of the income given specifically to the local church. The word tithing is synonymous with church. You cannot say I'm tithing by giving money to the Red Cross. That is a very noble thing to do. You cannot say that I'm tithing by helping the homeless. That is a noble thing to do. You are giving gifts or offering gifts to them. But the tithe has to go to a church. The church that you are affiliated with, the church that you go to, the church that you honor, the church that you are part of, that's where your tithe is supposed to go. 10%, that is your reasonable service. That is required of you as a child of God. The offering is above that which you give in tithes. There may be times when you want to give offerings, or you may want to give donations, or you may want to help charitable groups or charitable organizations. All of that is a very noble thing to do. But the tithe, I'm talking about the tithe, T-I-T-H-E, the tithe, is 10%, which is given specifically to the church. That is what tithing is all about. Now, one of the things is that, according to Leviticus 27 and 30, a tenth of the produce of the land, whether grain or fruit, is the Lord's, and it's holy. And Proverbs 3 and 9 says, honor the Lord with thy wealth and with thy first fruits of all thy crops. Gardening metaphors may throw you off, but we're not agrarian people. We don't have farms like that. These verses essentially are saying that a portion of the tenth is given of whatever income you make. And that's supposed to go back to God. The first fruit is just a biblical way of saying that you should give first before you do anything else with your money. Now, here's the problem with people saying that they don't have money to tithe. You see, tithe should go in your monthly bill just like every other bill. What most people do, they'll pay their bills first, and then whatever they have left over, they'll try to tithe. But the tithe goes in with the obligation. That's the tithe. And many people, and I'm not getting into anybody's business, I don't want to talk about anybody's spending habits, many people overextend themselves, and they find themselves paying for things that won't allow them to tithe to God. And that is the problem. I don't think it's so much the fact that they can't afford it. It's just that they got so many other obligations that they put tithing last. Well, the Bible says that's wrong. The Bible said that should be your first fruit. In other words, when you sit down at the table every month to figure out your bills, tithe should be one of those included. You don't pay the bill first and then go to tithe. You put tithe as a part of your giving. So the difference there is that people have a problem that's called a financial problem. Many have unwisely put their income in things that they cannot get any kind of use out of. The truth is you can't afford not to tithe. That's the truth of the matter. Financial giving to God along with biblical principles of finance is the roadblock to a financial road back to a financial well-being. Anyone who will tell you who has tithed for a long time, they will tell you that there have been times that they did not have it or they did not feel like they had it, but they did it anyway. And in doing so, they found out that there is a process of discipline that comes with tithing. And that discipline kicks in and you begin to realize that there are some things that I can do without. There are some things that I can cut back on. There are some things that I can do that will allow me to tithe to the Lord. This passage from Malachi, along with others, encourages and exhorts us to give. It is not the lack of finances which keep one from tithing, but rather it's the lack of faith. Failure to tithe is a failure to faith. The Bible clearly teaches that a Christian should give to support the work of God on earth. So people often ask, how much should I give? The tithe is 10%. Like the tithe, there are offerings. They group together. Many people will say tithes and offerings as if they are the same thing. But there is a difference between tithes and offerings. After you have tithed, and after you've paid your bills, and after you've paid your monthly expenses, if you have to give, then you can give offerings. Offerings are done for specific situations or for specific reasons. Maybe you want to give to the missionary department, or you might want to give to the youth department. Or you may want to give to the building fund or whatever the project may be going on. That can be given after the tithe. Do not give and say that's the tithe without it being 10%, because 10% is what the tithe is. The Bible tells us that tithing is a way to show that we trust God with our lives and with our finances. But the tithe wasn't put in place for God's benefit. He already owns everything. He doesn't need your money. Instead, tithing is meant for your benefit, because sacrificing is a portion of what God wants us to understand. And sacrificing a portion of your income helps us look outside our selfishness and make us more aware of the needs of others. One of the things, tithing is an act of faith that helps us keep our priorities straight. It reminds us that we don't own everything in this life. God is in control, and we're only managers of what he has given us. Ever notice that when you get around unselfish people, I'm not talking about selfish people. Whenever you get around unselfish people, you feel better. Unselfish people make good spouses. They make good friends. They make good relatives. They make good employers and good employees. And they usually do better financially. That's the beauty of tithing. We don't give to get, but often God blesses us with more than we give. Tithing recognizes that God is our provider and that we will prosper with more than just money if we rely on Him. Question is, I've been asked, do I have to tithe? Well, tithing, first of all, is for the Christian and for the Christian in the church. I'll get to that in just a second. If you are a non-believer, if you don't go to church at all, then that responsibility is not on you. But if you are a child of God and you have affiliated yourself with a church, yes, your obligation is to tithe. And that's specifically 10%. But it does not necessarily mean that you have to go to church every Sunday to tithe. Doesn't mean that you got to be the best Christian in the world to tithe. Doesn't mean that you got to dot every I and cross every T. I don't want you to think that that's who's responsible for tithing. Anybody who claims the name of Jesus Christ should, first of all, attach themselves to a Bible-believing church. And when you do that, you are under obligation to support the work of the Lord. See, God loves us when we give, and He loves us when we don't have anything to give. Tithing isn't a way to earn God's love because we already have God's love. In fact, in Matthew 23:23, Jesus warns against focusing too much on the rules of tithing without paying attention to more important things like justice, mercy, and faithfulness. There was a time in the church when those who tithed were able to pull rank in the church. And that was a problem in the early churches. They put a lot of emphasis on only those who tithe could have any kind of voice in the church. And there are those who would suggest that today. But tithing is not about that. Tithing does not give you rank. It is your reasonable service. Everyone should give in some way. But when it comes to tithing, it's more of a spiritual discussion than a financial thing. Because tithing isn't about the money. It's about the heart. It's living with the attitude that we're blessed to have God as a blessing. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, God wants you to want to give unto Him. Doesn't mean that you are forced to give. Tithing means that you are obligated by your Christian faith to give. Giving encourages a grateful heart, and it also encourages a generous spirit and can help steer us away from being greedy or loving money too much. Plus, being generous to the house of God is a well-being thing. If, suppose you say, well, I'm not affiliated with a church. I don't go to church. Can I still tithe? You can give to a church anytime you want to. You can give $1,000 to a church. But if you're not on the roll, that is not called a tithe. That is called a donation, which is a very noble thing to do. Any type of giving is a very noble thing to do. But if you are not in a church, then what you should do is find somewhere that you can concentrate, a church that is doing something that is conducive to what you think a church should be doing. There are many ways you can join the church: by letter, by Christian Experience, by Watch Care. There are many ways that you can join the church, and then you can begin to tithe at that church. But if you are not affiliated with a church, or you do not go to church, then you're not under that same obligation of 10% of your income, even if you're not a part of a local church. There are plenty of ministries and there are plenty of organizations that are doing great work and that could benefit from some of the things that you will be able to offer them. So just because you don't belong to a church doesn't mean that you cannot give. It just simply means that the tithe obligation is not yours. Think of charities that cause great work to be done. Charities that help the homeless, charities that help the crippled, charities that help the indigent. I'm talking to those who may be listening or who are not affiliated with churches. There are good works that you can do as well. But the tithe and the church are synonymous. Another question that I have often heard, how can I tithe and I'm still paying off debt? Even if you're in debt or walking through a rough financial season, tithing should still be a priority. While it's tempting to throw that money at your debt, the discipline and the faith that tithing brings is worth it. Even while you're paying down debt, you can still have an attitude of giving and be generous. If you think it will take a miracle to get through the month with 10% less in your wallet, you might need to do some lifestyle checking. Take a look at what you're doing. What's stopping you from being able to tithe? You should hold off on things that stifle you from tithing. Now, once you have tithe, if you don't have the money to give offerings, which is different, that's understandable. But the tithe comes off the top of the income. Offerings come after everything else is left. And if you are in debt, you should put all your extra money toward your debt after your tithe. Don't worry about offerings. Pay your tithe and then work on getting out of the debt. Then after you get out of that debt, then you'll be able to do more generous giving. So the question always comes up, should I give 10% of my gross or should I give 10% of my net? We have so many questions when it comes down to giving to God. We ask more questions about giving to God than we ask our doctor when he's trying to explain to us our health condition. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather God bless you from the gross or would you rather God bless you from the net? You figure that one out. Because there is a difference. And the point is give. I'm not going to sit here and hammer you over the head with one or the other, particularly if you're not tithing now. No way. You know, if you, whatever way you tithe would be a generous move toward where you're supposed to be. But ask yourself, do you want God to bless you from the first of his blessing or what he has left over from his blessing? Now, some of you are willing to take the mediocrity road and say, well, I'll just take whatever God left over. Well, I thank you to remember that a lot of folk who God got to bless before he got a lot of stuff left over. And I know that God can do anything, but God wants us to be in a position where we can give unto the Lord. The federal government does not ask you for their taxes. They take it. God gives you the option and allows you to give unto him. And because he allows us to give unto him, then we give the maximum that we can give, which is the gross. Question. Is it right to claim my tithes on my income tax returns? Absolutely. Most churches are 501c nonprofit organizations. That's for the tithe. You may not be able to get the same receipts for offerings, but for the tithe, I'm talking about tithers now. Yes, there's nothing wrong with you claiming your tithes on your tax returns. Even though tithing is your church is a matter of the heart, taking a tax deduction doesn't shrink the value of your generous gift. The Bible teaches us to be good managers of our money. So if you're taking a deduction, if you get a tax return, then that also should be remembered. And listen very closely. If you file your taxes and you get a tax refund, remember, that's money you've already tithed on. That money is yours. Now, it's always good to give to anything. As I said before, it's a noble gesture. But tax, I'm talking about tithers now. I'm not talking about those of you that tithe once a year or two times a year, whatever. I'm talking about those who consistently tithe and you do your tithes on your income tax. When you get your income tax, if you are lucky enough to get a refund, many of us are not, but if you are lucky enough to get a refund, then that is money that you've already tithed on. That's your money. That's your blessing for your tithe. So I would receive that as such. So again, we must understand that there is a difference between tithing, and we cannot replace one with the other. And we cannot come up with ideas as to what one is and what is not. Question has been asked, how can I increase my tithes? Well, you increase your tithes as you increase in your job status. You increase as in your income. If you have a business and your business begins to flourish, you can start, that 10% goes up to whatever that number will be. And that's how you can continue to tithe. So tithing is not a financial problem. Tithing is a faith problem. There's a proportion of giving, and that giving is 10% of your income. It's an obligation. One of the first things we learn when we join the church, and I know everybody has been told this, one of the first things we learn is that we tithe 10% in the church. But for some reason, and this has been going on for at least 1,000 years, but for some reason, still can't figure that out. Again, we ask more questions about tithing than we do on our health. When doctors tell us we got all kind of problems, we don't even ask the doctor anything. Give us all kind of medicine. We don't ask if there are any side effects. What does this medicine do? How much does it cost? We don't ask any of those questions. But when it comes down to tithing, Pastor, Bishop, Prophet, I'm confused. I don't know. I'm just confused. I heard some people say, and I heard some people say, we go through all of that. You know, and I want you all to start listening to that. I want you all to start hearing that when people start doing that. And I want you to correct them and let them know that they know full well what they're supposed to be doing. And if you don't know, as the song can say, you need to ask somebody. It is just that simple. Another question which often rises is whether Christians should give 10% of their deductions, or give 10% of their time and talent. Is that a part of the tithe? No. Tithe is to do with money. It has to do with the church. You ought to give your time. You ought to give your talent. The Bible says God respects all of that. If God has given you the talent to do something in the house of God, that does not negate the fact that you still have to pay tithes. If you are a great singer, you still have to pay tithes. If you're a great preacher, you still have to pay tithes. If you're a great deacon, you still have to pay tithes. It does not, your greatness in the church or your status in the church does not have anything to do with whether or not your tithes should be given. The second thing that we learn about proportionate giving is about the offering. An offering is considered to be amount given above the tithe. Tithe is an obligation to give. Once again, the offering is an opportunity to give. I'll say it again. The tithe is an obligation to give. The offering is an opportunity to give. Luke instructs concerning saying, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that you met withal, it shall be measured unto you again. All of you at First Baptist know that scripture. And it's exciting. It's exciting to give to the Lord because there are some promises of giving. Within the text in Malachi, you find two promises of giving for those who are faithful to honor God with their tithes and with their offerings. And the first promise is provision. The first promise of giving is that of provision. Malachi wrote of the promise of provision, saying, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open the window of heaven and pour you out a blessing that shall not be room enough to receive it. God has promised an abundant blessing for those who trust him by giving their tithes and their offerings. He said, prove me. In other words, if you don't believe me, try me. You remember, he always said, you tell folk, if you don't believe me, try me. Well, that's what God has said. If you don't believe it, try it. And then the second promise is protection. Another important promise is this text. In this text is the protection of God. Malachi wrote, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Someone has wisely said, you will either give your tithe to God or end up giving it to the doctor or to a mechanic or to somebody. God always gets his tithe. The choice to whom you give it to is yours. God offers protection and provision in the scripture for the tither. And this is what we have to come to as we rebuild ourselves as a people, as we rebuild ourselves as a church, as we rebuild ourselves as family. I remember back in the day, I guess I was maybe 8 or 9 years old, and I would have to take, I only got about 50 cents. Brother Jordan know what I'm talking about. I only got 50 cents for my allowance, and I had to put a quarter or most of that in an envelope on Sunday. I remember they tell me that, oh, you spend all your money before Sunday because you got to put something in that envelope. And I remember growing up with that, and I've always have had that as a part of my life. And that's why it's so important for us to teach our children when they're young to the concept of giving in the house of God. It's hard to do it when you're 30 and 40 and 50 years old. But if you grow up doing that, then it becomes second nature to you, and it's not such a strain. It doesn't become a problem for you to do so. We're going to open up the lines tonight. We got about 15 minutes left. There may be some of you who would like to say something about tithing, who may want to ask a question about it, or you may just want to have something else to add to the scripture that we talked about tonight. So I'm going to open the phone lines. Area code 919-4110. Are you on the line? 4110. Are you just listening? That's fine. It's all right. You can just listen. 919, last four digits, 3263. Oh. Are you on the line?
Pastor.
Yes, go right ahead.
Pastor Rogers.
Yes.
I'm sorry. This is Sister Waldhauer.
I just go right ahead.
Say,
how are you? Go right ahead, Sister
I'm
Waldhauer.
Doing well, thank you. I hope
good
you
to
are.
From you. Doing great.
I just wanted to say that I have truly been blessed by listening to you unwrap this part about tithing, because you're so correct as usual. People have so many questions about tithing, but none about their health. But I just want to thank you, and I'm looking forward to next Tuesday already.
Amen. Thank you so much, Sister Waldhauer. Thank you. Are you doing all
thank,
right?
And thank First Lady for me.
I certainly will. Area code 919, last four digits 2699. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am. This is Jenna Evans.
Hey, Sister Evans. How are you?
Hey. All right. How are you? And I've been blessed. Just listen to the message.
Amen. Thank you so very much. Area code 919, last four digits, 7459. 7459. Are you on the line? 7459. It's all right. You can just listen if you want to. You don't have to speak. You're not obligated to speak. Area code 919, last four digits, 5257. 5257, are you on the line?
Yes, Pastor, this is Brother Jonah.
Brother Jonah, how you doing?
I'm fine. And you, I hope you're doing well also.
Yes,
I enjoyed listening.
You heard what I said about that
56. Right? Late, so I'm trying to catch up on what you were saying, but what I understand is tithing is an integral part of what we should do as church members. Today, I think we are not as diligent about it as our ancestors were, And I don't know whether that is because we are blessed with an abundance of wealth, you know, and things that might take the place of tithing. But I'm just making an observation.
I understand. And,
I think you might have something. Mm-hmm. Go right ahead.
It just seems like the more we get, the less we tithe.
And that's part of the discipline as well, because the more we get, the more we have to spend on other things as well. And that keeps us from tithing. And that's part of it, I guess, when it talked about the discipline. One of the things that tithing does is teach you how to budget.
Pastor Ryan.
Go right ahead.
I have a question. I'm
right.
Brenda Joyner.
Go ahead. Oh, how you doing, Sister Joyner? Go right ahead. You're on there.
I'm a little confused. I attend First Baptist, not it's my church or whatever. But didn't you say if you are not a member, when I get that little envelope and I put tithing on it, but it's really not tithing. I'm just making a donation, right?
No, ma'am. You did not hear me correctly. Let me explain.
Okay.
Let me say it again.
Okay.
The question was asked, can I tithe and not be a member of a church? What I was saying was, tithes go to the church that you affiliated with. Tithes go to the church that you are supporting. You may be a member of First Baptist, but at the time you're going to Second Baptist. Well, you can give your tithes to Second Baptist. It's
okay.
The church that you are affiliated with. What I did say is that if you don't have a church at all, I'm talking about folk who don't go to church, period, then you're not under the obligation of tithing. That's what I'm saying about that. If you're not a church person at all, then you're not under that obligation. But if you are a church person, then there's a church somewhere that you are affiliated with, and that's where your tithe should go.
Okay, you cleared that up for me. Thanks a lot.
Uh-huh, uh-huh. Right here. There's another four. I think 3263. 3263, are you on the line? Sister Evans, is that you?
No, it's not.
Okay. I must be someone else. But again, you don't have to speak. Doesn't matter. As we talk about these things on the internet, a lot of people won't speak, and you don't have to. This is simply a Bible study that we can all listen and we can all talk together. Now, one of the things that I want to make perfectly clear is that the tithe and the offering are two different things. I know when it's in the bulletin together, tithe/offering, but we always should think of that as two different things. The tithe is the obligation, and the offering is the opportunity. That is how we should look at tithing in the house of God. Now, you can tithe your 10%, and if that is all you can give, then that's all you are obligated to give. If you can give more than that, then certainly you should give more than that. You should also give to those who are less fortunate, those who are indigent, those who are homeless, those who have every Christmas, there is a red bucket outside of every Walmart, outside of every grocery store. They're ringing that bell. And invariably, we put money in it. I know you do. I know from time to time you walk past that barrel and you put a quarter or whatever change or whatever money you might have in your hand. And that's a great thing. These are all great, noble things to do because it teaches us that we are not the only people who are living on this earth. There are others who need help as well. And I think that the climate that we're living in today does not suggest that. We're living in a climate today where every man for himself, everybody out for themselves, and we're not thinking about others. And I tell you the truth, that is part of the reason why we're under the curse that the Bible talks about of not being able to have justice and mercy in our hearts enough to help somebody along the way. Songwriter said, if I could just help somebody, then my living will not be in vain. And too many of us are just living vain lives. We're living those types of lives. We think about nobody but us. I'm not giving that church so-and-so. Well, believe it or not, the church has been around for 2,000 years. And just because you don't give don't mean they're going nowhere. The person that's going to suffer is you, not the church.
Yes.
The church is going to be there. It's going to. The church has gone through thick and thin, and it has always stood the test of time. So, and then, you know, one of the things that is so, as a pastor, I think, and I guess I shouldn't be talking about this, but I'm going to mention it anyway. You know me, I get myself in trouble all the time by talking. But anyway, the very same people who don't tithe, they're the first one to run to the church when something go bad. You know, grandma died. I need a funeral. I need a chicken dinner after the funeral. I need the choir to sing. I need the musicians to play. I need the whole nine yards. I want you to send her out like she was a, you know. And these are the same people who don't even give to the house of God, who won't even bend the elbow to work in the house of God, and they're always expecting something from the house of God, and. What tithing teaches us is that, you know, it's all right to ask for things, but it's also good to be able to give. And it's a good blessing. Don't you feel good when you're able to help something? Don't you feel good? I don't know about you, but I'm glad I can pay my tithes. I really am. I'm glad I can pay my tithes. I don't have to worry about that. It doesn't come across my mind. I don't stew in that. When I hear preachers preaching sermons about tithes, I don't cringe. Amen. Some folk, when they go to talking about tithes, that scripture Malachi, folk get real quiet. They get real tight. They ball their fist up, cross their arms. They don't want to talk about tithing. But I'm so glad that that doesn't bother me, because I have learned the importance of giving to the house of God. And I have learned that it's not a financial problem, that it's a faith problem. You got to step out on faith in order to get something from the Lord today. And that's what I wanted us to understand today. Are there any other questions concerning tithing or offerings? Anyone have any questions about tithing and offering? As I said before, to be an unselfish person is to be a person who's really successful. Most people who are successful in their hearts are people who are unselfish. They give of their time, they give of their talent, they give of their resources, and they feel good about that, and it gives them a sense of well-being. You know, we live in a world where there's a lot of stress on our spirits, there's a lot of stress on our souls, and any time that we can do something that makes us feel good, or any time that we can do something that makes us feel better, is a plus for us. It can regulate that blood pressure. It can bring down that sugar. It can help you heal a little better because you're satisfied in your mind that you have taken care of the obligations that you were under taking care of. So that's what it's all about. That's what it's all about when it comes down to tithing to the house of God. Now, there will be others who will tell you that they don't understand tithing. They don't understand why they have to tithe. This, that. I'm talking about folks in the church now. They'll tell you that, and I want you to tell them that tithes and offerings are special in our lives as a child of God. And every child of God is obligated to be somewhere in a place where they can tithe. If you can't, then you try to move yourself in that direction. After the tithe, whatever you can give, excuse me, over that is considered an offering or a donation. All of those are very noble things to do. Well, that's about it. My time is about up. We only are on 1 hour. I don't want to belabor you with the subject. I want you to tune in. Tell somebody about First Baptist of Holly Spring Bible Study Power Hour each Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, from 7 to 8 p.m. Go to the Facebook page. Go there. Hit the like button and share. There you will find all the information about First Baptist. You can stay in touch with us, and we can stay in touch with you. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for those who have been on the line tonight to share this lesson of tithing and offering. We pray, God, that as we grow in the Spirit, as we grow in the house of God, that you will allow us to have the discipline and the understanding of what it is to give in the house of God. We thank you right now, God, for those who are already tithing, for those who make that sacrifice each and every week, each and every month, out of their homes, out of their income, to give to the house of God. We pray, God, that their giving is not in vain. God, that you will bless them in a mighty way. For you said that you would open the window of heaven and that you would pour out a blessing, God. And we're going to stand on that promise tonight. So we thank you right now for your blessing. We thank you for your mercy. And we thank you for the givers of First Baptist of Holly Springs. God bless you tonight. Have a good week. And don't forget to tell somebody about First Baptist of Holly Springs. God bless you. Have a good night.
Good night. Good night.